Raise your fader up a little bit. I feel like it's...
Get that fader.
How's it?
Sounds a lot better.
A little better?
Yeah.
All right. I didn't touch it at all.
So. Nice. Well done. Got him.
Hey guys. Welcome to the Hyper Attack Podcast,
where we weigh in on the latest in nerd and pop culture hype.
We are our band.
We're the excited conversation we all have with our friends
about the nerdy things we love
and geek about.
We are the Hyper Attack.
I am the hype.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Hyper Attack Podcast, where we weigh in on the latest and greatest in nerd and pop culture hype. I'm Rudy, joined as always by Isaac, Doug, and Jermaine. How is everyone doing?
Hi. One of these days,
I forgot I could do audio. I can't just point.
You know, I was like, I'll try not to hit the mic next time.
That's fine.
Trash.
Good start. Anyway, today we are going to get into dream reboots. And I know we're getting a little reboot heavy lately in life, like just reboots of everything, sequels and 30 year later reboots and sequels. But
And requels.
Requels and sidequels. NyQuils and DayQuils, all the quills. But there's still some things out there that I think would benefit from an update, maybe technology or story-wise or whatever. They had concept but didn't quite get the execution, and maybe it could do a little bit better nowadays. But before we get into that, anybody got anything they're hyped about? Something they did, something they want to do, something upcoming?
Oh, I'll go. Over this weekend, the Beetlejuice Experience exhibit.
That looks cool.
The Afterlife Experience. It was North Hollywood. Man, that was so much fucking fun. I haven't done one of those kinds of like experiences and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like Elle was talking about when her and my sister went to like the Friends experience, and it was just literally like, here's some props. You can stand next to the thing and do the thing, and there you go, take a picture and fuck off. Like it sucked. This one was like, you know, very immersive, and all the actors that were, you know, you got the Beetlejuice and the other civil servants and stuff like that. All improvers, never broke character, were hilarious people. If you wanted to like riff with them, they'll joke along with you and stuff like that. But the most impressive part, other than the really strong drinks that were like decently priced, there were some fucking strong spirits, was there was like a horoscopist. And I thought like she was going to do like a whole tarot card reading, whatever, but you know, there's 8 seats and everyone has a clear cup in front of them with like random items, beans, coins, mine had, bottle caps and like some paper clips and shit. And you put your hand over the thing and it has to do stuff. And it's kind of funny. Right. And then she'll go to each person and then give them like their horoscope. And I thought like, oh, I'm waiting for some really funny shit. And she's like, there's a family member you're having trouble with. And it hit people at their core, and they like, you can see the smile kind of waning, and they're like, how does she know? Like with like some tears in their eyes. And like, this is powerful. This is awesome. It's obviously like mentalist shit, you know, but it was very impressive and I couldn't stop talking about it. So, but that's running, the Beetlejuice Experience in North Hollywood. It's running up until Halloween. So I suggest you guys check that shit out.
That's cool. That's nice. Cause I some of those experiences, absolute bullshit. And we've seen the memes of like the Willy Wonka one. And I think there's a Pikachu one somewhere that was, or a Pokemon one that was just as much bullshit. So yeah, you gotta be careful. I've definitely like gone to like a, not quite an experience, but like one of those festivals, like a donut festival. And it was fucking garbage. Like to the point where we kind of said something. It was just like, you guys advertised a lot. And it's just like 6 booths with like stale donuts.
So. I put a video up on Forehead Films, Forehead Films. So you can see what we experienced. So that was fun. Check that out.
Right on.
TikTok, Instagram.
Who wants to go next?
Tomorrow, I think Netflix is dropping Twilight of the Gods, which is Zack Snyder's cartoon movie series, something. I don't know. It looks cool.
I saw that in the lineup or whatever. I thought they had shut down everything Zack Snyder was doing. I thought they were like Netflix was done with him.
Oh, no, maybe future stuff.
Oh. Did any of you guys watch the?
I still
haven't watched it.
It's too long. I've been wanting. I think about it every once in a while, but World of Warcraft is life. you guys are lucky I stopped playing to do this. So nothing gets watched or seen. I'm barely eating. It's awesome.
It's awesome. Forget who's epic. Just play wild.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like item level 596 right now. My survival hunter is just kicking ass.
Hygiene is zero.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Rot maxing to the core.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Gross. And those Delve 8 kicked my ass. I was actually like cussing at the game, which is feels nice because it's been a while since WoW's been challenging. So
awesome.
Also, it was your fucking birthday this week.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, man. A birthday is a birthday is a birthday.
42.
Hey, man.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Sorry, there was no more drinks. One sippy sip.
Big mug.
I forgot about that. Yeah, so it was my birthday. That's Jermaine, always fun.
Keep your suppository off the table. I don't know how many times I have to tell you.
I'm like, why is it so small?
It's a habit.
Jermaine, you got anything?
Give it to me. Trying to wait patiently for the this Arcane season 2.
Oh, yeah.
Because every time I just keep looking at the trailer, like, it just looks amazing. I just like the animation. Just been ready to watch some new, you know, animated stuff. The one that Doug mentioned, the Twilight of the Gods. I like the look of it because it kind of reminds me of a Samurai Jack in a sense.
Exactly.
Mm.
So it has that feel to it. Yeah, but for me, it's Arcane Season 2. And then because I'm a huge Metal Gear Solid fan, I keep looking at those screenshots for the...
Oh, for Delta?
Yeah.
When is that scheduled to drop?
I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head, Delta? But I just keep looking at it. 'Cause isn't it the remake of Part... 3?
It's a remake of Metal Gear Snake Eater.
Oh, so it's a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the game. But those graphics just just make the game look...
Like, they keep, like, releasing tech demos. I'm like, all right, show me some fucking gameplay.
Right.
Jesus.
But that's on my hype list.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, you mentioned the animation styles, and it is interesting because Twilight of the Gods certainly reminds me of Samurai Jack, and it's very old school, but that cool old school. Like, yeah, it's still really neat. But then you look at Arcane and the second season of Arcane, and like that's that new style of animation, that new that's just like chef's kiss. It's so freaking cool.
So yeah, awesome. Excited.
Rudy, what are you hyped about?
So I haven't done anything lately really like hype worthy. What I am excited about though, Comic-Con returning to registration.
Oh, Saturday.
This Saturday, as of this recording, stress. It'll be Saturday. And like I swear that the last Comic-Con was like a big like almost shrug, like, yeah, it was cool. But I will not miss. I will not miss the registration and try to get tickets. Like, I just won't. Like, yeah. I have to go.
Well, next year should have DC and more Marvel stuff. This was certainly an off year, but who knows?
Like, I hope that's not, that slope isn't a decline. Like, I hope it, like, turns the other way.
It's going to be pure Abbott Elementary this time.
I was about to fucking say.
It's just going to be like ABC sitcoms everywhere. That it's no longer.
Now that like Fargo won some awards for the Emmys, it's like it's going to be a Fargo now.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Emmys, shout out to Shogun.
Oh, yeah, man.
I think the most any show's got 2,000
or something like that. Yeah. Best food service.
Just scream it. Go ahead.
Yeah, everything.
Just scream it, Jimmy.
Best production assistance. Anyway, but yeah, that's, you know, I'm locked and loaded for Comic-Con. I can't wait to do that. And then Doug's birthday outing.
Whoa.
Like, I want
my neck of the woods.
Like, I'm looking forward to seeing this Guild Hall.
Place. Oh, yeah. It's just a fun little bar.
Have you ever been there before?
Not to the Burbank location, not to the Whittier one. But that's cool.
I didn't even know there was one in Whittier.
Yeah, I think it's more recent.
Nobody knows that there's things in Whittier.
I mean, you're that close to LA or Orange County. It's
the girls are prettier.
Oh, God. Otay Whittier is always a nice, you know, afternoon. But I don't know. I've never gone there specifically to get drunk, so that'll be an experience.
It's fun. Those moments.
Not that that's what we're going for, but you know. You gotta have goals.
The fuck you kidding?
That's usually, I mean, like, I like to roam around and just like, oh, this place looks fun. Let's go get a drink or something like that. You experienced that a little bit with our LA trip where You know, Dave has to stop me because I'm just like, we could stop by a bar on the way back to the car. It's like, no, it's 10 o'clock. We got an hour to drive.
Okay. No, I was seeing a little cross-eyed on the walk back to the car. And I was like, okay. I mean, I know, like, I'm a sort of a lightweight when it comes to beer. Like, I just keep chugging. And then all of a sudden, I was like, oh. What's up, guys?
It can happen. Like, you know, because I've been getting the flights. I'm trying to get 100 from 100 flights from 100 different breweries this year, and I'm at, like, 67. But every once in a while, one of those flights, because, you know, you get a couple IPAs or a strong stout or something on there, and, like, you know, you're just kind of drinking those samples, and yeah, eventually it's like, that's the funnest of beer drunks versus, like, I think other drunks is like, beer drunks is like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It creeps up on you as opposed to like clanging three shots and be like, oh shit,
dude,
yeah. There it is.
Yeah.
Can I suggest a name for your video at the end?
Sure.
For you make that? Can Doug Takes Flight?
Uh huh.
Come on.
Nice. I was thinking,
we can set up the green screen and me just like flying.
Oh my God. Here's the thing. We joke and like brainstorm stupid shit like that.
Yeah, and I don't want to do any of it.
We will fucking. No, it'll work. You'll just be fucking irritated as we're dressed in green screen holding you up.
Okay, I just want to see you guys try that. Awesome. I think, yeah.
The green screen just painted my forehead.
Yeah.
All right. The subject
of
today's podcast, Dream Reboots. Mm-hmm. I had a little problem, not with the concept in general, specifically when I drilled down to like, because I split my categories, animation, TV, movies, and then I had like a no-fly list, like things that should never be remade ever.
Nice.
But when it came to TV, like I couldn't really find, because so many old shows have been redone already.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking, like, if you redid an old show now with the culture of today, I don't think I'd be that interested in it.
That's exactly my problem.
Yeah. I've said before how, like, you know, a lot of the stuff that I enjoyed from even way back still holds up and it's still worth a watch. Mm-hmm. There's a few things TV wise. Yeah. That one's kind of hard. I didn't mean to interrupt you this, but,
I opened the floor.
I totally agree. Like, it's kind of hard to think of things specifically.
Like, I'm trying to think of, like, a regular TV show, but with that Gen Alpha lingo. Like, I can't.
Maybe.
Like, it breaks me.
No. I don't want to go down that road again.
Maybe because of technology and artificial intelligence and robots. And, yeah, we did get the Megan movie already, but what about Small Wonder?
See, I saw that one too, and I'm like,
Did you guys see the trailer to the new, like, Megan Fox movie?
I saw a screenshot of her in underwear, and
it's like they saw Megan and were like, you know, it'd be fucking great. And they, you know, the rule, what again? Rule
34.
Whatever. And they had, like, Megan Fox. But the interesting part I read is she did her own wardrobe and makeup. And they thought it was very uncanny the way she looked. No CGI in that movie, just to make it look plastic.
It's subservience, isn't it?
I don't know, but I'm good. It's a horny trailer, and I want to watch it.
That was the caption I saw in the picture. Her name and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
So TV-wise, I guess let's stick on TV. Yeah. The only thing specific stuff was hard to think of, but I was kind of thinking more genre, because I'm a huge fan of, like, sci-fi and fantasy, obviously, mm-hmm. and I feel like everything's become so Star Wars-y or superhero stuff that I wouldn't mind, like, another attempt at some more fantasy stuff. And, like, I started thinking about, like, Hercules and Xena. I don't know if I would necessarily want those shows, but something along the lines of just, like, a good classic hero. Not fucking Kevin Sorbo, but, you know.
What's wrong with Kevin Sorbo?
What
the fuck?
Fuck off. Fuck Kevin Sorbo.
Yeah. Whoa, man. I did not know we were going to slam on Kevin Sorbo on this podcast.
Would you still want something, like, with the Greek gods, or fantasy in general?
I think it would work. Like, Greek gods would work. I mean, obviously, like, we get a lot of Euro fantasy stuff like that, so of course it'd be awesome to get some fantasy stories from around the world. But something along those lines, and again, like, it doesn't necessarily need to be big budget, which I know that's, like, the dream. Like, oh, I'd love, like, anytime someone talks about a reboot, it's like, oh, I'd love to see them do that, but with the $2 billion budget and all the special effects. And it's like, honestly, like, bring back a good character-driven, like, it could be low budget. It doesn't have to, you know, save the budget for, like, the big finale where then you get the giant Cyclops or something like that. But you can, like, I think, I don't know. I'd just like to see an approach again to those kind of like hero stories and in those worlds, on set locations and stuff like that. I guess I'm just old and like bring back Star Trek, like old Star Trek.
Jermaine, you don't think a small wonder would be a little too on the nose with all the AI shit going around lately?
Not. I mean, it would be one of those things. It could be reboot wise. You're just, you know, making it for the modern age, but when you're looking at all the other shows, like when I mean old shows, you know, like Alf or what was the one, Out of This World, where she can, you know, pause time and dare I say Roswell, because it was one of the ones that like, yeah, we got a reboot, but once again it got canceled. But it's one of those things, like I just feel like they kind of gave Roswell like a new edge, you know, feel, but it was kind of still like the same.
I try to stick with the reboot as long as I could, and it didn't grab me. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was about the cast from the first one, but like I just like those characters.
Yeah. And I was always interested in their world and where they came from and
the actual alien stuff that they kind of just hinted at, but never like fully dove into.
Yeah. Because budget and it was a, you know, TV show. But when old girl left and went into the portal and then she magically just came back, and I was like, damn, that's all we're going to get. Like, we didn't even get to see, you know, like a glimpse of it. So, but back to your question, with Small Wonder, maybe this time, like maybe she doesn't have like a sibling or anything, but it's just like a family that took her in and they're trying to like raise her like a real girl. And she's actually going to school and, you know, interacting. Maybe you can kind of do it that way. But I mean, just to give it a little bit of twist, but.
Here's my take on that, though, because Elva goes, they should reboot like Married with Children. It's like, whoa, they could never fucking do that. No, right.
And that show still holds up.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure cringy and stuff at some points, but.
I was like, but what? Like, if they were to do it, it just wouldn't work anymore. And it wouldn't work in a sitcom format the way like Small Wonder was. Mm. But what if they did the way that they did with like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and making it Bel-Air? It was a CW and made it like a single camera show where it was like way more serious.
I think it was like HBO or something did that.
Was it HBO?
Max. No, it could be Paramount or Peacock.
I think it was Peacock.
Rachel watches the hell out of it.
Okay, I was going to say, I could tell. No, none of us watched it. But I think if they were to switch it to a single camera, like I'd be interested to see what a single camera Married with Children would look like, or if they were to adopt like a Modern Family. I know Modern Family has Ed O'Neill played Ed Bundy, but if they did that with those types of shows instead of doing a sitcom. That being said, a show that's out and I can't wait to watch it, that rides those lines a couple seasons out with Annie Murphy from Schitt's Creek, called Kevin Can Go Fuck Himself.
Oh, yeah. I've been wanting to check that out. I've heard it's good. I totally forgot about it, though, because there's a million fucking things to watch.
I thought that was porn. It was hard pass.
It's like when you watch the trailer, it's like a sitcom format. And then once she's by herself, it's a single cam and it makes like very serious and dramatic. And they ride both that line.
I like that. That kind of artsy shit. The Small Wonder conversation that reminds me, and I know we've talked about it on this show, is like Knight Rider being hard to reboot now because cars do all that shit.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why they had to do like Transformers and everything.
Yeah.
And so I think that's like to the point of like, okay, a robot girl, like we're almost fucking there with our world. Mm-hmm. But you were right. I think if you add that, like, it's not really a political conversation. I guess the sociological conversation of like actually trying to raise a robot girl as a real girl, or like putting her to school and like how all that work. Certainly, I think it probably ended up being a lot more dramatic than comedic.
Oh, yeah. It
unless they make her a robot just does fucking TikTok dances and like memes, right? Just a walking meme. Skibbity toilet. Oh. Drop that Ohio Riz. Sorry.
She's like, I'm just going to be a TikTok star.
I mean, there already are AI influencers.
And just become rich.
Okay, there we go. There it is.
She was like a serious robot, though. That was like the whole thing, right? She wasn't like any kind of AI.
Or it was like a robot.
Yeah.
Like,
Then they do the crossover.
Feelings robot too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crossover with Skynet.
Yeah. See, but to add to you, it's most shows that I'm looking at reboot, it would kind of be like how they did Fresh Prince. Like it wouldn't go back to sitcom.
Yeah, you can't. I don't think sitcoms hold up nowadays.
Like that would be so.
Just a shame.
I feel that's why there's certain shows that had to kind of copy reality TV, like
Modern Family
did, because
Abbott Elementary,
because they had to have that little edge. You know,
I had to say it.
Yep.
That vibe, because it was a lot of shows getting canceled, but reality TV was still booming because of the rating.
I thought a lot of that was also based off the success of The Office. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That mockumentary or whatever they want to call it. Yeah. I think it's a shame that like a sitcom still wouldn't work, but again, that's for me. But I mean, honestly, with like the attention span of a lot of young people too, it's like, oh,
I'm laughing because I just never thought that we'd be talking about Small Wonder. Yeah. Like, I thought you guys were going to go on lists.
Yeah.
trying to figure out Small Wonder.
I mean, your point about Roswell and stuff, though. I think that goes kind of what I was saying, that also, like, it's just like all those old, like, sci-fi, like Sliders. I mean, I'm not saying
I just wanted to say Sliders.
Oh, yeah. Just like, that, even like X-Files, which I know they've tried to reboot a few times, like those fun, like hour long, like little sci-fi shows. Man. I mean, I know they've tried new ones, but
I don't know. I think something like X-Files, like, had its run. It's good. Mm-hmm. It's where it is. That's one of those ones that maybe you could put on the no-fly zone.
Really?
Dude, they have a lot of seasons. They've kind of brought it back. They had its movies.
So, but like, I wasn't thinking like necessarily a reboot of X-Files, but it's on my list because like that's something that they could plug into whole different characters into.
I get it.
Continue.
Yeah. The thing is,
I feel like it's like The Last reboot. Of Us. Like you can start anywhere in any world with like a different crew. Like it doesn't just have to be, you know,
that one
like recycling. Well, not really recycling, but you don't have to have a crew out here. Like, you know, it could be another X-Files in like a different country.
Oh, like CSI?
X-Files International.
Yeah, dealing with different stuff. Yeah, you can deal with
it. Let's not get that serious. Like fucking 18 CSIs.
Jesus. Or what about the Law and Orders?
Oh, them too. Oh,
thank God. Yeah. I want like Law and Order, like friggle small suits or whatever.
And then
I don't know
have
my legal
those,
target.
Those,
you get the joke.
Those like old shows that because technology, they couldn't really do much, like The Bionic Man and Bionic Woman.
Yeah.
All those, if you have those nowadays, it could definitely be
$6 Million Man.
Yeah. Something Rogers. Different.
That brings me to, I only have three on my list for TV. Babylon 5. Was a pretty good show, but the visuals were ass. And you could taste it through the screen.
Ew.
And like, I think that would be like a really good one to update with, like, you know, the tech we have now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I almost like, so for those of you unaware, Babylon 5 was one of the first shows, I think, to do full like CG space stuff. You know, at the time, Star Trek was still doing models. Star Wars was doing models. Well, Star Wars wasn't really doing anything at this point. But Babylon 5 was doing mostly CGI stuff. And it was that early CGI that at the time was like, oh, this is so cool. But now, trying to watch any of those episodes, it's like, good God, this looks like garbage. But I mean, it was a really good show. It was a really good setup. Everything about it is still really good other than that. So I'd almost be curious, like, if they could do what Star Trek did with the original series, which just was update all the space stuff and the graphics, or just do a full reboot.
I love that you guys went sci-fi. I have on here like Three's Company. Like, how would they reboot Three's Company?
Haven't they done that? Like two guys and three girls in a pizza place or shit like that?
No.
Like, yeah, two girls in one cup like or something.
Reboots. And I get that. I can respect that. But Three's Company is so specific because it's Jack Tripper is pretending to be gay in order to live with the two girls. And it's just literally the whole show is based around homophobia.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how would you do that?
In today's world, I think it'd be too... I don't know, because that's one of the...
It had to be in the South.
How do I want to say this? That's like one of the attacks that they use against people in the LGBTQ community is that idea of you're just pretending. Or, I mean, it's the whole bathroom argument, right? You're not actually trans. You're just trying to go watch, I don't know, listen to women fart in the stall next to you. I don't know what they expect to
What's wrong with that? What if they flip it around?
And
what if he's pretending to be gay in order to live like in a gay community?
There's potential there.
They kind of did it with like the Odd Couple.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I wasn't
solved.
I wasn't prepared to talk about
sitcoms. Yeah. What I watch it? Like, what I watch it? Probably not.
No, man. That show was fucking great.
Can I add one more?
Yeah.
My most controversial add to this list, I think.
Oh boy,
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of potential.
Yeah,
I liked how it kind of rode the pop culture wave of its time, and I think it could do it again, you know, but updated for now.
1000%.
Yeah,
I thought I'd get a little bit more pushback than.
I mean, it is one of those. Nope, it's been a long time since I've watched an episode, so I couldn't tell you if they still hold up, which I imagine some of them do. But I think that's just a fun story that there's so much to do, and especially with today's tech and everything like that, like they could definitely dive deeper into.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of potential there.
More demonic,
because not in the sitcom or a TV show or series realm, but like in movies and stuff, I have some like vampire werewolf based things that like, you know what, kind of worth bringing back. What?
No, I was wondering if I had any. I don't.
I mean, I'm curious if they would. Me and Alva were talking about this, right? Because I was scrambling to think, like, what could be rebooted and whatever. And she was listing things, and I go, no, that's been rebooted. So we had trouble, like, finding new stuff. That's landing on sitcoms. But, like, the Munsters might be funny to bring back.
Rob Zombie did that.
He did.
Fucking movie, which I only saw bits of it, and it looked wild.
Here's the thing about that movie is...
I've never seen
it. You have to, like... accept that's what it is.
Yeah,
and then once you did, I kind of had fun with it.
I kind of had fun. I was at a brewery in the Arts District of Vegas, like sitting there, just like,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah. But I immediately knew. It's like I knew, like, okay, he's not trying to make a serious
correct
monster. He's doing Rob Zombie
full
monster
campy,
yeah,
monsters thing. But like, I think that would be interesting in having that family. But you know, again, still fish out of water. But in the nowadays ages, I don't know. That's my only sitcom one, other than Three's Company.
Anyone else have any TV?
I mean, if we want to dive into like cartoons.
Yeah, I got some cartoons.
Jermaine and I are going to be one-on-one on this fucking Exo Squad.
Wait.
That's on my list too.
Yeah.
That's on my list too.
Yeah. Okay, real quick before we jump into
Heroes. Exo Squad. Heroes. Bring Heroes back.
They brought it back.
Yeah. But that was like, it was a little short thing. And then that was that. I fucking loved Heroes. Heroes suffered from like the first writer strike. So fucking bad. And I just kind of wanted...
It would be interesting. I mean, superheroes are certainly a lot more popular than what they were back then, but I think...
There's a nuance to it, you know? Like,
yeah.
It was... They really cared about the character. Like, the writing was strong in the first season, but that's my last...
Oh, yeah. And I always will appreciate, like, a good exploration into a world with powers and how it would work out and stuff like that.
I was a huge fan of that show until it shit the bed.
Again,
through no fault of its own.
Yeah.
And then just the tainted reboot and just that title just puts a bad taste in my mouth. And I don't think it can escape that.
Mm-hmm.
Like if people hear another reboot of Heroes, this is going to be garbage. And they just go on about their day.
That makes sense.
But we could there's certainly room for a show that explores. I mean, I think, you know, they've tried it with like Gifted, which was like in the X-Men universe.
Yeah.
They've tried a few.
I didn't hate that show.
Yeah, the little bit I watched, I thought it was pretty fun. I gave up, you know, I don't know.
Do you guys, speaking of heroes, but...
be your hero.
I could be wrong.
I would love a sandwich.
I could be wrong, but I don't know if this series exists in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but do you guys remember the Tomorrow People?
Why does
that sound familiar?
Yeah, I remember the title. I don't think I ever saw it, though.
That would be an interesting one. Because of superheroes and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's like it was kind of different for what it was at the time. But, like I said, because of they did do a
Robbie Amell.
No, but there's an older version.
Oh, that right there?
Yeah, there's a
excuse me,
older version, but they is did that DJ bring it Qualls? Back, but it didn't go.
Is it? It looks like him.
No, he's like an.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Interesting.
I do feel like that show kind of deserves something better.
Oh, it was the 70s.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was old school.
Exo Squad, though.
What right? is Exo Squad?
Greatest fucking cartoon ever. It's a really, really good cartoon from back in our day. Yeah, ahead of its time. I don't think it even had that many seasons. Really cool toys. I mean, it's one of those cartoons that was, you know, designed to sell toys because that's
like
dudes in suits and aliens and stuff.
Toys are fucking awesome.
Yeah, toys are great. I was a little mad because the scale was a little off from like G.I. Joe's, because I always wanted to just like mix all my action figures. So
Exosquad, size matters.
Yeah. I mean, J.T. Marsh was just like short. I didn't want like short J.T. Marsh compared to like Captain Hawk or whatever. General Hawk, sorry.
Oh, it's streaming on Peacock.
Yeah, I've been meaning to check it out.
That's going to be a good rewatch.
So, Exosquad, would you guys want like full live action crazy billion-dollar budget stuff, or like just bring back like X-Men 97 cartoons, cartoonize it?
Yeah, I think an updated cartoon, like, but with, you know, the way they presented X-Men 97, you know, more much, I don't want to say like more mature, but you know, definitely not quite as kiddie as it was.
I mean, it had like mature themes of like slavery and revolt, like slave revolts and stuff like that. So
I think that's why I found it so interesting too. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, this is not G.I. Joe pew pew.
Yeah.
Cause you can't do like G.I. Joe doing the whole movie shit. Did you enjoy the G.I. Joe movies and spinoff Snake Eyes or whatever it was?
No. Yeah, no, they were okay.
You'd have like, to keep it animated. Yeah,
not especially.
Oh, I think I saw
like Marlon Wayans in there.
I saw some headline today, like the Netflix Transformers movie is going to also include G.I. Joe's. I didn't know Netflix was making a Transformers movie. I mean, obviously they set up the last Transformers Beast action. Wars with the G.I. Joe. That,
yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if it was live action. Or
Well, I didn't expect that crossover.
They did it in the comics. I remember they did it a few times in the comics, but back when I used to get, you know, 1,000 comics a fucking week, I was getting one that was really cool. I think I like the art style. It might have been Jay Lee or something like that, who just really cool contrast. See,
I could see this animated, like 2D animation, but I also could see this like 3D animated. Like,
oh, that'd be a pretty cool up.
Like almost like Warhammer-ish type of. Like that Final Fantasy Advent Children style. Because my thing is, 2D would, yes, do it justice, but the mechs,
yeah,
and the universe and everything, like I feel like it'll just add a little bit of firepower to everything.
That would ride the happy medium.
Yeah, definitely.
Until you stop calling me that.
You're happy extra large, buddy that, boy.
As soon as we came up with this topic, Exosquad was the one that really popped in my head. Everything else, I think, like I've said, still kind of holds up or has already been rebooted as far as shows and TV stuff goes. Segue into movies? I don't know.
Wait, hold on. I need Darkwing Duck. I need a reboot of Darkwing Duck.
Like, it can be done.
They kind of like alluded to it in that Rescue Rangers live action thing did. Yeah. He was at the end like, "We would Darkwing Duck." I was like, "Yes!"
They need the requel Darkwing for Duck. That. They need to do like Darkwing Duck Beyond or something like that, where he's an old duck training. There we go.
Reboot like Huey, Louie, and Stewie, or whatever.
DuckTales,
there you go.
Because they did DuckTales. But before we leave the animated universe, for me, of course, it's always going to be Thundercats, but I would,
besides you know, Thundercats that, Roar?
Oh. I knew it.
I mean,
that's why I didn't want to put it on my list, because I knew.
No, but it's not even the Thundercats Roar. Like, that was...
not a reboot.
I never watched it, but they did reboot Thundercats.
Yeah.
They had it... I don't remember if it was... Maybe it was He-Man that was in 2011, the Masters of the Universe, but it was, like, a little... Before that, the first season of the new Thundercats series was great. Then it got into the second season. I was like,
"Where?" As you need a little key bump. Sorry.
Where are you guys going?
Stuck in my nose.
And it just went like totally beyond anything that the original, you know, show. Like they went like way out there where there was more, like different jewels. You know, they had more like. How the sword had the cat's eye, and then Lion-O claw shield, like he had like an armor thing. It was kind of decent, but it went far left.
But sometimes I feel like that's what these shows need. Like, cause I mean, no offense to some of, you know, a lot of our kids shows growing up was like Monster of the Week.
Yeah.
I mean, Power Rangers was literally Monster of the Week, you know, Ninja Turtles. Like, I feel like adding more of those long-term storylines is certainly something that modern television has. And like, I guess that's the thing with the reboot. Like any of these shows that we've talked about, like ExoSquad, would we want them to just go through that same story again?
No. Or not exactly. See, what I'm trying to say is like, look at Voltron.
Voltron
did it right.
Yeah, so, masterclass.
So what I'm saying is it's just the direction that they took. It just didn't work for the series. It just kind of took it out of that. Like, it didn't have that vibe of being Thundercats anymore. It
didn't stay in the Thundercats market.
Yeah, it was kind of just something different. So for me, I would just love to see another animated series, but somebody doing it justice. And I don't really care if they look, you know, kind of different, because these new Thundercats were, Lionel didn't look like, you know, the original Lionel, which I was fine with. But also during that era, Silverhawks, because of their
silver suits.
Yeah, like their silver suits, and they were just, you know, these humans that were kind of altered to survive in space. So that would kind of be another one. But my last one, which is my big one, because we were talking about reboot, is the cartoon called.
That's on my fucking list too, reboot. But I didn't want to. I don't want to say that out loud.
Oh,
I need that,
bro.
God, that could be updated so fucking hard.
Yeah,
I love that.
Bring
cartoon.
Bring back memories.
I love that it was, you know, the early stages of like
the internet.
The fuck is that?
What the fuck is that one? Is that like a dream? Like,
is it a?
Yeah, this is. Yeah, that's
fan made.
But they have, I don't remember if it's like a little cartoon, but I haven't watched it. But there's, I think there's something on Netflix that's supposed to be linked to this, but I haven't watched it. But just that world and having a guardian, and then you have like different kind of viruses or games that keep coming in, like that would still be like an interesting series. Like I almost look at it like Gantz. Like if you have something like that where the what was the city called? Mainframe.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, you know, Bob the Guardian, but you had like everybody kind of living their regular life, but then all of a sudden these random things kept coming in. Like it's almost, you know, like Gantz, like, you know, like what was the other one? Like Superhuman Samurai. Where he was inside the computer system, I think that was what it was called, or was it?
Fuck, I know what you're talking about. I don't remember the title, or if that was it or not.
Superhuman Samurai, yeah. But anyways, this updated with new technology. I loved when towards the end of the season when they lost one of the games for the first time, and everybody got lost within the computer system, and Enzo Matrix grew up and he became like that hardcore
he got into the net where your code compiles faster, and he like aged him and he came back as a, you know, a badass.
Interesting.
Yeah, he had that gun and he had that golden eye. Like that shit was next level for me.
That's just all fun. I mean, I guess one thing, you know, whenever we talk about especially kid shows getting rebooted, like rebooted as another kid show or rebooted as an adult show is always going to be a question. Reboot specifically would be kind of fun. I mean, the timing of it originally was perfect because we were just all getting into computers and
as the a same kid era as Beast Wars, right?
Maybe, yeah. And like as a kid, just that idea of like, oh, our computers are full of like little people living a life in Mainframe City and stuff. Or really Tron. Cool. It's kind of like Osmosis Jones too, yeah. Also, right? Like that idea of yeah, and Tron was that same idea, yeah. I mean, reboot now, like modern would just be like, hey, this game's free. Oh, no, there's ads. Oh, there's ads. They would just be finding ads.
Yeah.
And malware.
Instead of that signature, like where they did the reboot inside the game where it gave them like the armor and all that stuff, they'd be like, microtransaction.
Yeah, yeah. They'd all be just like fighting for mom's credit card.
Did anyone watch, speaking of Robbie Amell, did anyone watch Upload on Amazon? It's like if you die, you can just upload your consciousness into a digital heaven.
I try to. a couple of episodes of that, and like I haven't gone back to it. I was like,
I liked it. It was kind of that level of silly, but the point being is like everything is a microtransaction, and they play with that so fucking well.
Yeah,
to the point where you're like depressed.
Yeah. I think Europe's making a move to ban it, so I think we're gonna see a huge change in the landscape soon.
I totally forgot about Superhuman Samurai. My God, you guys are digging up some memories.
Cyber Squad.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Sure.
Does anyone remember
VR Troopers? Sorry,
the laser tag, like the official game. Like not the like you're not going to laser tag at a place. It was like almost like a
Pentagon.
That
you strapped to your waist and
You had on a vest.
The little black blaze. Yeah, we had those. Yeah.
Oh, fuck! I love playing with those. And they did release a cartoon of that for like awesome. A season in like 87 or some shit like that. And I remember watching the shit out of that. I'm like, I would love for them to bring that back.
Holy shit. The Zapper thing reminded me. Captain Nintendo. Captain N. That would be one that I'm so surprised. Like Nintendo with their success of like the new Mario. And the Nintendo still holding on to so many different properties.
Yeah. Fuck Nintendo. So... They still haven't given me like a decent Legend of Zelda cartoon property. Except for that one back in the fucking...
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like they're like slowly diving into all that stuff, and they
like slow. I'm gonna be dead by the time they get into a good one.
Captain N, Isaac, I don't know if you know it. It's like this guy that had like a Nintendo controller on his belt, and he had the Zapper, and he would go through different games that Nintendo had, and like I don't know, whatever, shoot things, and it was one of those old cartoons. I don't remember what all he did. I just thought it was cool. I mean, in today's world of video games and how popular they are, like it would just make sense. And like the marketing of it,
dude,
to be able to like go into a new game that's coming out. And like, I mean, it would make so much sense for Nintendo to do something. He needs to
be a Smash Brother character.
I'm surprised he's not. Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
That would be.
I wonder if there's some rights issue.
You feel me? We got Game & Watch.
There's got to be some rights issue. Or something.
But I can't get some Captain N, huh?
We have the Wii Fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would certainly be a good reboot. Okay.
Some Nintendo stuff. Like, did you guys not like the Super Mario Brother movie?
It was okay. I mean, I liked it at the time. It certainly didn't disappoint me. Oh, the 90s one. Yeah. No. Cult classic right there.
Jesus Christ.
Would you stop? Right. Anyway, so let's get away from the small screen and jump into the big screen.
The silver
screen. We were only talking reboots, right? Not sequels of anything that deserved a sequel.
I mean, it's technically, you know, the topic is reboots, but if you think something deserves a sequel, then, you know, throw it out there and we'll shoot you down.
Okay, yeah. As far as, like, sequel, something that deserves a sequel, two of my top, like, favorite movies, Scott Pilgrim. I think there's more story to play with. The character, the actors are still within the age range. They're not aged out of their roles.
So what do you classify the recent Netflix
I brought up, we're talking about the Netflix thing. They played with time travel with that one, and that was a fuck ton of fun. I like that a lot. And then I like that we got to experience more Scott Pilgrim. You know, I still kind of want to see the characters in a live-action thing directed by Edgar Wright. Like, that was a fuck ton of fun. I still think that's how live-action anime fights should be. He did it right.
But where do you land on what it was? Was it like a sequel? Was it a retelling of the original story? Is it a more faithful adaptation of the comic? Which it wasn't, because they went in a whole different direction.
It acknowledged the original movie, and then it time traveled, and so Branch timelined it. Because you're following Ramona if she didn't continue on with Scott, because he disappeared.
Oh, yeah. Terminator Zero. All over.
So, a sequel.
Sidequel.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I love that. Yeah. Oh my God. Totally forgot about that.
Sidequel is a story that's taking place at the same time next to something, not different timelines.
True. Yeah. Well, can we create a new?
We should, like, time quill.
Ooh.
Branch quill.
If you drink enough of it.
Time branch quill.
Yes. Time quill.
Branch. Isaacian.
In canon reboot.
In canon reboot.
That's like what, like the J.J. Abrams Star Trek stuff would be technically in canon reboot.
Oh, okay. It's not as catchy, but I feel it.
In canon reboot, cool.
And yes, I would love more fucking Scott Pilgrim. Yeah. It was one of my favorite movies.
The fact that the actors, even for like the show, were willing to voice the original characters is a fuck ton of fun. Because, you know, I mean, the manga was a good read and the movie was amazing and everyone's so specific to their character. So, yeah. The other movie, though, would be, and we got a 20-year re-release, Shaun of the Dead. Because I think maybe the part of the story could be like, you know, after he, you know, he helped his friends out. You've never seen it at all?
God fucking.
I mean, I can guess it. There's some zombies, and they make some jokes.
Don't you dare summarize in front of me. Fucking dare you, son of a bitch. After all the things you're fucking passionate about, you just want to sum it up.
No. I'm saying you could spoil it.
It was more of a synopsis.
I'm saying you could spoil it if you need to talk about specifics.
What I'm trying to say is that there's nothing to spoil because it's not about like the story itself. It's Edgar Wright directed it. And so it's that feel of it, you know? It's just everything in between. Anyways, a sequel. I think it should be funny. Like, it starts off and you think he's going to be doing well. He's still in a dead-end job, you know? Maybe another apocalypse happened. I don't know. I think there's a little room to do something with it. I mean, since they're fucking, you know, doing sequels of everything else.
Yeah, for sure.
Why the hell not? Let's revisit that shit.
For sure, for sure.
Those are mine, though.
Movies?
Jermaine, do you want to mention Robot Jocks, or should I?
God damn it. Or Rudy, you want to mention Robot Jocks? That's on my fucking list, too.
Touch with you guys. What the fuck is that?
All the tips of our dicks are touching under the table. We're synergizing.
You guys, one of you want to take it, or?
The hive mind. Six balls thinking is one. Robot Jocks. It was just your, I don't want to say run of the mill, but it was just your basic, you know.
That was ahead of his time.
This side versus this side, you know, epic battles, but with fucking giant robots. And
yeah.
Like, that just, it screams to be updated with modern tech. Screams.
Yeah, because those robots barely moved. They stood there. The world was Pacific set up. And I think we've talked about it on our show before. Wars had ended, and the countries decided that they would settle their disputes through just two robots fighting.
Nice.
So it was classic, like, American robot versus probably Russian or something at the time. And absolutely. It needs to be rebooted. They were huge. Yeah.
Okay.
They were huge, but they barely moved. They looked good for the time.
It does look good.
And I think it would probably still be a good watch for that, like, not quite campiness, but certainly like an appreciation of what they would. I've seen it in a long time, yeah.
Wow.
My fear would be, though, that, like, especially in today's Hollywood, like, they would remake it and it would just be the robots running around. You'd barely be able to see. It would be, they'd Michael Bay the shit out of it with Transformers, and you wouldn't be able to see what was going on. I think part of the fun with it was because they were so slow, it was almost more strategic, like turn-based video game versus a live-action video game.
That's a good comparison. I like that.
Speaking of comparison, do you feel like you got a little taste of that with the Pacific Rim?
Pacific Rim was fine for what it was, but I think it wasn't quite. Yeah, I don't think it quite conveyed the scale that this one does with its slow, chunky guys, like, you know,
yeah,
barely moving and stuff.
But Pacific Rim, that movement and that slowness, I think, would be maybe about the level. Maybe tone it down a little bit of what I would want. Mm. You know, like I said, I wouldn't want to see Transformers flippy flip shit.
Bumblebee.
Yeah. Breakdance
fighting.
God. Yeah, exactly.
It really was.
But yeah, like that lumbering of like a Jaeger would be, I guess, pretty similar to my desires.
You know, when I was compiling my list, I find like I'm a really big fan of like sci-fi military stuff. And I was like, Jesus Christ, like Robot Jocks almost kind of falls into that. Starship Troopers.
Like, because that one still so holds up, though.
It really does.
And it does because it's not like a faithful recreation of the book. Like, he took it and he made it his own thing and like put his own like satire or whatever spin on it. Like, the actual book, though, I think is really, you know, there's a lot of stuff in there that I would like to see faithfully translated to the screen. And I think it would be almost an entirely different movie.
And that makes for, to me, like a really good reboot, where it's like, at that point, like you said, it's a whole new movie with something that we're going to be somewhat familiar with. But of course, you're going to get instantly the argument.
Because they sequelized the shit out of the original one, but it kept
that TV show too.
It kept that campiness, you know, that the original had. And they're fine. You know, I was a huge fan of the original movie. And then when I read the book after, many years later, and I'm like, oh, this is what that's supposed to be. This is nothing like that movie. And I would love to see this.
That was definitely a surprise of a movie for me. That was it became like a cult classic.
For sure.
I always find that interesting, too, when, you know, a movie's made of a book. It's adapted from a book, and it's completely changed, like The Shining, right? Stephen King hated The Shining, and then whoever else directed Dr. Sleep went back to, like, the original book of The Shining, which was, like, way more ghost-related and stuff. And I think you can't get mad at it if you adapt the book directly. You know what I mean? Like, you're right. Like, Starship Troopers is with its own thing, mm-hmm. with Paul Verhoeven. Yeah, I don't think too many people can get mad at it. It's if you then completely change it to do its own thing.
Have you been on the internet? Have you ever gone online? Like, people
do people get angry?
People get a little mad about, like, anything.
No, I know that. It's right, like, minimal damage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you would at least have a camp of people that would defend it. Like, well, this is the book.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. And then, you know, who the fuck reads a book? The first movie was better. Denise Richards and the redhead got her titties out.
We read the book, but Denise Richards was really reading it to me.
Jesus Christ. Jermaine, you got any movies on your list?
That was one of mine, was the two that you mentioned, but there was another one, but I can't remember it off the top of my head. So if anybody has anything.
Yeah, I got a movie. The Fly. I think it's time to bring back The Fly.
Haven't they done fucking 18 versions of that movie?
No. Next question.
Are you fucking sure?
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum was the original Fly.
No, the original was like in the 60s or something like that. Okay, so then rebooted to Jeff Goldblum, and then part two with...
Okay, so when I said 18, that was a comic exaggeration.
What's his face? Oh, fuck balls. I gotta look
Is that
up.
Horror?
Or
just more creature feature?
I guess creature feature, yeah. But the guy from Hereditary, the brother, where everything's kind of based around, I think he would, play like a good...
What's Hereditary?
Brendel. The horror film. Oh, yeah, you haven't watched it.
Okay.
Yeah. I forget his name.
I need to rewatch that because everyone, like, talks about that being, like, one of the best. And, like, I really lost interest so
really?
Quick.
Really? Okay.
Like, but I need to rewatch it. I might have very quickly pulled on my phone, or I was playing World of Warcraft or
either
something.
Either that.
Groupie watch.
Either loved it or you hated it. That was or what watch. I found when people were watching it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
But, no, I felt so like sorry. The Fly. Like, what was so awesome about the 80s one is, like, the disgusting transformation. You could do that again. I don't know. Like, I think there's room for it as far as like a reboot.
The 80s stuff, I think, is always going to be so hard to talk about a reboot when it comes to horror or creature stuff because, you know, back then, like, I think some of the puppetry and some of the the costumes were so good. You look at the Ninja Turtles, like the live action Ninja Turtles, like that holds up so well. And I'd just be curious if they could do it today, like with a live action. In suits, like full live action. Don't fucking CG it or anything like that.
I have that on my list, by the way, TMNT.
You would kind of...
I don't want...
Kind of what we saw in the new Aliens movie.
Yeah. Just keeping it practical.
Yeah,
with a little bit. Yeah,
brushing it with some CG.
And even with Underworld, that...
Mm-hmm.
For me, that was just a series that was a guilty pleasure of a series, but I liked them using the, you know, like the costumes, but then they had like the transformation, you know, they used the CGI for that.
Speaking of practical and CG, I talked about this movie before and none of you guys have seen it. They did a sequel or prequel to John Carpenter's The Thing called The Thing. And the really fucked up part, little like fun fact behind the scenes is like they shot everything practical because they wanted to have that same aesthetic. And some knuckle fuck was like, nah, throw CG on top of everything. Ruin the fucking movie. I saw like behind the scenes of the actual practical effects and shit like that. It looked amazing. You could do that now.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have the technology.
Mm-hmm. Because you were looking at the Gremlins earlier. Like, because what you say, they're making an animated Gremlins or something.
Yeah, I guess like a cartoon version.
Yeah. You know, the Gremlins with Gizmo and all them. Same, like the puppetry was like what makes that movie, and you know it still holds up. I can understand someone not wanting like it's an old movie, but like if they were to remake it again, they'd have those gremlins fucking flipping and I mean I don't
Hilarious.
Trust like
yeah. Oh no, I mean as far as like the when the puppets were doing some,
yeah but now it'd be CG. You know one of them's doing the floss. Well, like one of them's flossing.
You would have to bring in like the youth.
Yeah, yeah, the youth with like an 8-year-old Fortnite reference. Sure.
Yeah, it's but Beetlejuice did that where they go, you know what? Like the aesthetic of the first movie was the practical effects, mm-hmm. and we're gonna do that for sure.
Yeah, I think that's like Tim Burton flexing that on Hollywood.
But they could, you know, now whoever's making any new thing and wants to do practical can go point at that movie and go, it could be done.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm being a little too cynical because maybe we are kind of approaching that. But again, it like Jermaine always says, it all depends on who's behind it and who, you know, who's developing it. But I mean, I look at, you know, horror is a great, all the 80s horror stuff would be so like, I want to say it'd be fun to see a reboot, but I think a lot of it still holds up. And the fact that it's an old 80s campy shit is what makes it fun. Killer Clowns from Outer Space, Critters, Phantasm. I mean, even Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, which I know they've done reboots and stuff.
Well, they're rebooting Friday the 13th again, I think. Did they ever reboot? I don't know.
Yeah, I think they've, I mean, they've done a million sequels.
And yeah, I think up to like 11 or some shit like that.
Probably.
Yeah.
In space.
Yeah, there was a space one. There was but I want to say they did a reboot. Like a full reboot? I forget.
I know they did that with Rob Zombie did Halloween. It was really, really bad.
Yeah, it was disappointing.
It was so bad. Nightmare on Elm Street was a bad one, too. That was really not a good reboot. Same thing. Could have kept it practical, and then they did some CG and some parts that they did. But that's why we're talking about this, right? Is like, it's if we could drive Hollywood to do these things and like our little, you know, prerequisites, this is what it would be. I know Hollywood's going to do what the fuck Hollywood's going to do. And that's why we're talking about this, because all the other sequels, prequels, cycles, and everything else in between, we watch it go, yeah, I guess that was entertaining, but Jesus Christ, it was so like, you know, not fansery, but it just like, it didn't have what the reason why we loved it. And
yeah,
they fucking did this with it. There was a kid doing the floss.
Now, a little soulless.
Yeah. A little soulless.
Nowadays, I'm trying to be generous.
Like, there's so much pressure, I think, to be thoughtful, to be, you know, like maybe a little more complicated in their stories, where, you know, you look at back at some of those old horror ones, it's like, look, I just need a pretty good setup.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, it's kind of like what I was saying about Terminator last week, where it's like, give me like a cool setup and then show me the action. Like, I mean, I know it sounds sick, but I mean, half the fun of watching any of those old horror movies was just like the creative ways that they killed people.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds super like disturbing to say, but like that's it. And I do appreciate when a modern director can come up with something cool, like a good story. Like we always talk about The Evil Dead, which I still need to watch the second one, mm-hmm. Evil Dead Rise or something, right?
That's okay.
Yeah. But I mean, it's like, if you're going to bring back Friday the 13th, like just bring it back as that.
Well,
there doesn't need to be a social. I mean, I'm not saying I'm against social messages, but it's like for a movie like that, you may need some like teens fucking on the lake and this guy's killing him. Like that's what we want.
And I've said this time and time again, anytime I talk about horror films plus. Is what happened? Ever happened to the NC-17 shit, you know?
Adult teens. No, he's correcting me when I said teens. I mean,
oh, I'm sorry.
Adult teens.
Counselors is that every time, and when you have a horror film, you have to care about the characters that are going to die, or most of them at the very least, you know, so that it kind of, I don't know, has a little bit more impact. It could still be fun. But what I was going to say before is like a good example of a type of franchise that's like progressing and adapting, like, okay, it's gone. It's still a B slasher, but they can't adapt storyline, are the Terrifier movies.
Oh, I still didn't watch them.
First one is just complete, you know why you're there to watch a complete slasher. You don't give a shit about any fucking buddy, and the gory shit that he does is so much fun. Carrying on into part two, where it has a bigger budget, and then an actual storyline, an actual protagonist you kind of care about, and you're like more locked in with it, whilst still having fun with Art the Clown being Art the fucking Clown. So like that movie kind of showed that, like, yeah, we can evolve a little bit. We
and that's definitely the power of the sequel, and I think you almost would have to if you're going to do a trilogy or a series of movies, especially in the horror genre. I mean, there's probably going to be people that are going to want just more of the same. Like, no, just give me another movie. I'm slashing people up. But I think that's the sequels where you can start introducing, I think, a little bit more. But first one should just, like, let's just show us some cool killer stuff.
Like, Scream and Halloween are probably, like, those two franchise movies where you have, like, your core, you know, last people or whatever the hell, like, carrying on through the whole thing. I can't see any other movie doing that, like, you know, Friday the 13th or Jesus Christ, anybody watch the Chucky reboot? Not the show.
The series was kind of fun.
Heard the show was pretty good, yeah. But like they did the whole AI, Chucky's an AI doll bullshit. Like, oh God, talk about like trying to, you know, upgrade it.
Yeah.
Fell.
There's so much potential with something like Friday the 13th in a modern setting, which, I mean, I still think perfect setting is definitely 80s, 90s for any movie. We've gone past that golden age because, you know, like, that's why like Stranger Things worked, right? Because the kids don't have internet, 1000%. They don't have flashlights constantly on them and everything like that. But there is potential for something like Friday the 13th with, like, I mean, hell, even like a podcast group or influencers going to Crystal Lake to try to see them, or they've heard the stories, and then it's just a, like 2 hours of killing influencers.
Did you?
That's the formula right there.
Like the real annoying ones. Like, what's up, everybody? It's your boy back at Crystal Lake. We're gonna try to find Jason today.
Has that been done?
Like a TikTok.
Wasn't Bodies, Bodies, Bodies kind of like that? No.
No. I don't think so.
No.
But it certainly touched on that idea.
You're right, though. The '80s is a great setting for horror. American Horror Story even did that, where they had like a 1980s something version, and then they sponsored the No Sleep podcast, and they were like '80s based stuff. You watched a movie with, I think, Kiernan Shipka, where she travels back in time. Was it? I think it was a movie, into the 80s.
Yes.
Meets her mom and shit. What's it called? Totally Killer or something?
Yeah, Totally Killer. That was so fun. So good.
Just showing that the 80s are a perfect place for slasher film.
Yeah.
Jermaine, did you find that movie you were looking for?
Yeah, it was. It already had a reboot, but it was kind of disappointing. The Total Recall.
Do it again.
Oh, yeah.
The one with
Colin Farrell. Mm-hmm. That was no bones.
Oh, yeah.
That was not good.
Yeah. I was
already mind wiped it.
Highly disappointed with that movie.
That was the problem. The whole thing with like the first one is he's going on brain vacation, and they're sort of like towing that line of is he actually imagining and is it real?
Yeah.
Mars, blah, blah, blah. This thing was like, what the fuck?
Kachastamas.
Besides Total Recall, I do have a love for this other movie, which we've all seen, but me and Rudy used to talk about it, Reign of Fire.
Reign of Fire.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
You want a reboot of that? It holds up.
No, it holds up in all its glory, but it's...
So much potential.
There was just a thing, so...
So long as Matthew McConaughey is in it.
It's almost like RoboCop. Like it's. I love the original RoboCop, but they did the reboot, and it was kind of garbage. Like it felt kind of soft. Like it kind of like soulless.
Use your big words.
Especially when he was going through, and he was getting his revenge on everybody that killed him. Like you didn't feel anything compared to the first movie.
That righteous revenge.
Yeah.
Fucking
80. And that's just kind of how I felt about Total Recall. But with Reign of Fire, it is a good movie, and it still holds up. Maybe you can do something like a different area. But
a prequel.
But it's just one of those, like, there's little enhancements that I want to see.
I see that.
For instance, remember when you have the archangels that are jumping out of the plane?
It's like Halo jumpers or whatever.
I like that so much. And yes, you know, they're there risking their lives, you know, for these, you know, for their comrades, and, you know, they're trying to distract the dragon. But I would love it so much if an archangel like jumped out of that plane. Not Iron Man style, but if he had just like a little booster pack where he can like just tilt to the left, you know, like while the dragons, you know, come at him, just to give him like a little bit of a, you know, chance, edge. Like not just and it's over, but it's just
like we had this conversation like ever so long ago before the advent of fucking wingsuits. Could you imagine all those fools in wingsuits and be able to do like full aerial like maneuvers?
Like it would just be cool just to see certain elements just added to the movie. But like I said, I love the movie from beginning to end. everything about it, but I feel maybe with a bigger budget it could be a gift and a curse, but that the last scene with the dragon, like, I know that was one of those things, like, you know, where it was like that ground battle, like I dug it because they were in the trenches and they had to, you know, they had to go there, but yeah. It was just, it could have been grandiose.
That world could really lend itself to, like, even a series. Mm-hmm. And with, you know, Max dropping the ball with House of Dragons, maybe it's like, look, keep those dragons. Just keep the same dragons. Get rid of all that. And, then they get encased
in amber, and then they get rediscovered.
Yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm.
Would you rather see, like, another story in the same universe, or would you want, a full reboot? Like, what would be your preference? I could go
for either, but... Maybe a reboot, general, just to, like, if you wanted to do anything more, make it, you know, longer, because it could be, you know, multiple series or even multiple movies, because I feel like if you have more of a budget, especially in this day and age, like, you just... Because they were only focused literally on that one
spot,
the mother of dragons. You know that they had to kill her, but there were still multiple dragons out there. So you would kind of have, you know, that hierarchy of just going through multiple dragons rather than just going after one. Yeah. So that would drastically change. Be cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential with that, like that kind of like video game-esque, like getting to the final boss, or again, if it's a series, you could bounce around the world. You know, you could be showing dragons in Japan, showing dragons here, have characters all over that eventually meet up, you know.
And even with the way the world is, I know it wouldn't be perfect, but you still have fighter jets. But yes, you're limited. Your fuel, you know, like there's just little things, you know, you still have your tanks, you know, you could engage that. And do you guys remember the A-Team movie?
Yeah.
Where they're in that fucking tank. Yeah. Could you imagine just a scene like that?
Yeah.
With Rain of Fire? Oh my God.
Like, yeah, that's
a dream.
And that's where it really, like, I'm just picturing a series now more and more, because even, you know, budget wise, like even if you don't have a dragon in every episode, right? Like there's still so much potential, like the episode where they go try to get the tank or whatever. And again, if you're bouncing around, you know, to different characters, you could be showing the family that's just trying to get to a base or something like that. You know, I mean, I think there's a lot of potential to that. So I think that's
that's the best idea so far.
The way, honestly, I would do it, think of A Quiet Place.
Uh-huh.
So when the beginning, when he was a child, remember they were down in that tunnel where they were doing like the excavation and stuff? Mm-hmm. And the dragon came out of that. And then it already fast forward. And the world was already.
You want Rain of Fire day one.
So you could.
That's a place to start for sure.
Yeah, to see how the world fell and to have. Like, it almost. Think of it like a redemption story.
Mm.
Like, mankind, like, they're like, damn, we fucked up. You know, we let the dragons, you know, kind of take over. Maybe they were trying to, you know, nuke them or whatever, but they destroyed the world trying to fight these dragons, or they just straight up lost. And it's them trying to fight for survival, for the goal of getting to that one dragon that's the quote unquote the mother of dragons, that's the one that could birth them all.
Yeah,
so you could kind of have a series, or like a three-parter, my Batman series, you know,
like a three or four part hour long.
Yeah, something like that, or even like a series,
a trilogy of movies, a series. Mm-hmm. You know, like what you're saying is,
a spinoff.
You could almost do parallel storytelling, or flashback episodes and stuff like that. Like, there's a lot of potential.
And I feel like it would do good because it's modern times, but you have this mythical creature that's here, and can you just see, you know. wingsuit people jumping out and they're, you know, flying through like the city and they're just like curving through the building and they cut just in time and a dragon just shoots through like the building, you know, like just
fuck yeah,
it's be just, epic.
Anything for more drone shots,
yeah.
Actual wingsuit people,
yeah. Oh man, with the drone shots nowadays, oh my god, like it would be perfect. But I think that movie for me is just one of those things that's like, it is such a great movie, but there was just so many things that I'm like, we got to the apocalypse too quick for me.
I think that's one of the most interesting post-apocalyptic movies.
Yeah, it's such a unique...
By dragons?
Yeah, it's such a unique setting. And then, the bringer of the apocalypse being dragons is cool. Because, you know, it could have been any monster and it would have been meh. But the fact that it's dragons in this setting, like taking that out of, I guess, you know, fish out of water in a way.
Yeah.
Part of the problem with anything getting rebooted and going to a bigger budget, and again, this is something that I think plagues a lot of modern movies, is... you end up having to make the movie for everyone.
Good point.
Right. And so that part of the fun of Reign of Terror, and any of the old 80s horror movies and even some of the old sci-fi stuff is like, we're making this for sci-fi fans. And we're making this for people that love awesome, cool fucking dragon shit, which should be everybody, but people are lame. and you know, we're making this for horror movies. But not like if we talk about these reboots and we're going to huge budgets, then it all of a sudden you have to get the two quadrants right. There's four quadrants of moviegoers, and you always have to aim for two if you're doing a big budget. But the bigger budgets, you literally have to get everybody. So then all of a sudden you have, you know, the jokes getting in there and the unnecessary romance or whatever. And I think that's, again, where, like, I don't know, maybe the soullessness or the funness goes away.
It's a great point, though.
In modern movies.
And, you know, other movies like Godzilla Minus One showed you that you don't have to have a huge budget in order to make a really good-looking movie. Just people that know what the fuck they're doing. That's it. As far as writers and visual effects, Jesus Christ, is that so goddamn hard to ask for?
Yeah. And that movie still managed to...
Fuck.
Apparently.
I know, right?
That movie, I think, managed to still kind of hit the two quadrants, too. Like, there was obviously the cool fucking Godzilla shit, and then there was, like, actual heart in the storytelling, and I think everyone was invested in that little makeshift family that should, you know.
Common denominators, like studios noting the fuck out of everything and really ruining it. Well, we're giving you the money, so we're going to tell you exactly what to do. Yeah, you have your creative original idea. That's all nice, but we own you.
Yeah, and then anything made now, like the dollar signs flashing on, like the idea of a shared universe or, you know, the franchisability of it all. It sucks. So, we're dreaming of our reboots here, but it's also kind of just like, ugh, like that sour taste of mine. But I'm also one of these people where it's like if a new version comes out and I don't like it, like, fine, whatever. Like, I'll just go watch the old one again because that's a thing. As long as they don't, like, wipe the streaming world of the old one because they want us to watch the new one or something like that, and then bricks will be thrown. We live close enough to Hollywood.
You have to hold on to your DVDs and Blu-rays and Laserdiscs.
Yeah, they take up so much space.
I know, but you know, it's a cost of enjoying things.
Does anyone have any other big movies you want to bring up?
You said it earlier, the TMNT live action.
Yeah,
1,000% be done again.
Yeah.
We got the tech.
Mm-hmm. We're like a practical TMNT as opposed to the CGI.
Oh, yeah. That could be done. That shit. With raid style fighting. Remember
that? Yeah, that they like promised. I mean, like that idea of turning any like of our kids' stuff into like, let's do the hardcore.
Well, like, they're gonna do that though, right? They're going to do an animated Ronin. What are they doing?
The Last Ronin.
Last Ronin, but they're doing an animated movie version of it.
Am I getting completely wrong? They're doing a video game, and I believe it's a animated, because I don't think it's going to be live action, but the Last Ronin TMNT
series.
Yeah, they announced that stuff, awesome. And then I haven't heard anything since.
Yeah, I think
but
they announced it early.
Animated stuff always takes forever.
Yeah.
For sure.
For me, the big one's always going to be, even though I love the original, but The Matrix, I feel, if the new one that they come out with, I'm hoping that it's going to be a reboot rather than like a continuation, which even though I do feel that.
Did you not like the recent sequel?
That the.
That's what I'm saying.
Who did?
Ew.
But that universe could keep going regardless of where it started from, because within the movie they stated that the machines would start over and rebuild. So
you get different versions.
The first Matrix could still exist, you know. But it was just a version that they, you know, they were, let's see what happens.
Yeah,
and then that's what happened in that universe. So now they're going to destroy everything, and then they're going to rebuild again. So you can kind of keep up with technology, because now you're going to move into the here and now, where we don't have, you know, the...
I was gonna pitch, like, what if we have, like, an earlier concept? Because they're kind of learning as they destroy each Matrix. So what if you have, like, an earlier version? What can they play with?
Like the 1950s.
Maybe.
You know? Yeah, that would be interesting, because... Yeah.
Because having it even more advanced...
I mean, the Matrix setting is, like what you were saying, reboot is built into the storyline, so...
Yeah, You can start from anywhere. Like, you can, because when you watch the Animatrix, it's different artists were just telling their own version, but it was within the Matrix universe. And even though we got the story, you know, the three movies with those characters, I still felt like within that same world, you could have went anywhere else and started somewhere else. Or... you can get a movie where what happens, like Matrix, I don't know, Firstborn or something like that. You know, the one that actually woke up and realized, like, oh, wait a minute, like, this isn't real. Yeah. And he was trying to free mankind.
The Matrix, the one that got away. I just nailed the title.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Hollywood.
Well, you got to do like a prequel to Neo's story, where like these two black girl twins are also the one.
Where is this going?
Acolyte.
The Acolyte.
Oh.
Just to piss everyone off.
I missed that.
Damn, I had to think about it. Like,
huh? You guys probably already put that series behind you. Moved on. I mean, I saw
it. Now, let's go on a 45-minute rant about it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, two girls, one Jack. In the back of the head.
The splitter.
It's just a cheap splitter, so every once in a while one of them glitches out.
Like, you know, we need to boot up a couple more people. You just like split it.
Yeah.
You could split her, but you know, they're just split where there was one born in the Matrix and one born in the real world.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of potential to the Matrix.
I think it
could be explored.
To me, it has everything there in a story that you could want, because you could create, I don't know, like, just think of how many, you know, different Doctor Who's that they've had. And like, just when you look at the Animatrix, it could be such a stylized series that it could kind of become anything that you want it to be. You know, you could keep the story going, destroy it, start over again. But there's so many avenues
I would totally dig a story of the machines trying to create the perfect world, the perfect simulation for humans and failing.
Yeah.
And one of them being like a fucking anime, like feudal Japan, like setting with people, and they're just, you know, in that style and all that shit.
No, you do a Groundhog's Day style story where there's one person that for whatever reason is glitched in the batteries and he knows things are kind of restarting.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You build in a looper storyline, a time loop storyline and all that.
You go through like just different scenarios. Like, why? Mm-hmm. Like, this is slightly different or something like that. Yeah.
Because I did like all the stories that they had in there, you know, where the kid found out about it, but the agents and all that stuff was going on. I believe it was like a Trinity story. And then you have World Record, which, you know, the guy was running the race, but he was breaking so many records that they literally like shut his body down because he wasn't like
he outran the program.
Yeah, like the human body wasn't supposed to be able to you know, move at that type of speed, but like they literally paralyzed him and they thought that he wasn't ever going to move, you know, couldn't ever walk again. But at the end, it just shows him kind of like breaking out of his shackles, and he's still like walking, like he still refuses. And you see the agents there, there's like, no. And then it just cuts. It just has everything for me. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No need to apologize. This is a safe space here. That's a good idea.
A lot of potentials.
I do have one. Two for two. One big one I have to fucking throw out. Big one for me, because not a lot of people have even seen this movie. The Last Starfighter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, that needs a fucking update. And, like, the whole video game story is a recruitment thing.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Like, it's so fucking... It's there. Like, the formula is there. And I'm so angry every time I see something that, like, the sequel, blah, blah, blah. And, like, they're talking about, like, people are getting together. I'm like, fuck yeah, fuck yeah, fuck yeah. And they're like, and it's dead in the water. Fuck.
So,
what is it about?
So, yeah.
I will kill you dead.
The cool thing was the video game recruitment. There was an arcade cabinet that... Well, like an alien race was basically watching the high score until someone got like really good at it and was like, here's our pilot. That's all I remember about it. But it's fucking cool.
They
based, the dream of every like 80s.
That means they based that. You ever watch. Oh, shit. With PDA from fucking the game. Hunger Games. Game. What?
You're talking about. No.
No. That's a show.
First of all, this is before that. If you're.
No. I know.
That kid.
Fuck. I'm just trying to remember that. Oh, I'm ruining this. Continue. Fuck me.
As per usual. Well, we were just describing it to you. So, like, there's this video game this guy plays, and he gets really good at it. And so this guy comes looking for him. It turns out he's an alien, and they're using the... He is specifically using the video game to recruit good pilots. So they bring him up into space and tell him that everything that he's been playing in the game is real. And then something catastrophic happens. He's the last pilot that they have, and he's never flown before. And it's him against, you know, odds that are longer than your forehead.
That's
not length size. Future Man. And you guys ever watch Future Man series?
Oh, I've heard it was really good.
Okay, the setup is like he's really good at this game, finally beats it, and then he's like the John Connor.
Oh, that's
except,
cool.
Except there's a really little like raunchy humor.
That's fun. Sorry. I'll have to check that out. Then I didn't realize that was the setup.
Yeah, I thought it was so just good. Some weird time travel thing.
It's hilarious. Mm-hmm. It's raunchy. I think Seth Rogen might have.
So, would you put the Last Starfighter and Ender's Game kind of in the same vein of?
No, because Ender's Game was a little more cerebral. I think like Last Starfighter was like very simple, straightforward story, and Ender's Game was like from the book, because the movie doesn't give it like I don't think the movie gives it its due.
Yeah,
but the book was like a real like build up. And then that fucking reverse at the end was like, oh shit, like, it's really happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the shit.
Try not to spoil that for everyone. Go fucking read the book.
That was what got me.
I know we don't read nowadays, but read the fucking book.
By the way, why'd you get mad at me for not knowing this movie? I literally have a show called You Haven't Seen That.
it's just one of those things.
172 fucking movies and growing. It's so
one of those things that's near to my heart.
Let me add it. Hold on.
Like, I preface that. Like, a lot of people have seen this, so.
What year was The Last Starfighter?
I already meant
800.
Because I do the feel 1900s. Like I remember it as a kid.
1984
was
84. Okay, so I was born in 82. So
a twinkle in my dad's ball sack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I remember it because the special move was like the ship just like spun around a whole bunch and like shot like that was the big climatic.
It's basically the cheat code. It was called Death Blossom.
Nice. Oh, great name. Hell yeah.
Like, because the Starfighter is cool looking by itself, the Gunstar. And it, like, it's just like this, you know, two-seater thing or whatever. But he fucking, you hit the buttons to prep for it. And, like, panels open and there's 18,000 more guns, like, built into the wings. And, like, missile pods, like, fucking pop up and shit. And I'm like, oh, goddamn.
Yeah.
And then he hits it and he just... Because the gunner pod is separate from the pilot, and you just see that thing just go fucking ham, like,
yeah,
Conan the Barbarian, like wielding, like just back and forth, like it was a really really fun movie.
That's cool.
God, I need to watch that again. What's it on YouTube? $3.99. I'm there.
That's why we do this shit. God. I love the passion.
And I don't want to like just keep going on and on, but it dawned on me that for the longest time I was never actually writing stuff down, but in my head at work, distracting myself with writing a reboot for The Wizard. I don't know if you guys remember The Wizard. Mm-hmm.
Fred Savage?
Yeah, you mentioned that every time we bring up the movie. Were you fucking we had it?
What is his brother?
We were going to do it. So my idea was, though, that, like, you know, back then gamers were kids. Modern gamers now are like 35. And I was going to play 42? With the idea that, yeah, that, you know, some like 35-year-old kids that are still living at home with their parents, like, I'm going to go save the house by joining some tournament, which, I mean, tournaments are a real thing now. But I had this whole idea where, like, the dad was just fucking happy that the kids were gone, but the mom was like overly like, no, I gotta go save them. And so, like, the dad has to go on this, like, oh, go find them. And then, you know, they learn, you know, just like that movie.
Don't give all the ideas out. Hollywood is listening to our podcast. They will steal it, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd just be like weird, kind of making fun of like people, but also like heartwarming at the same time. I don't know.
It would be written for us.
Yeah.
Does anyone have a no touchy list? I call mine the no-fly list.
I mean, obviously, Back to the Future.
Yeah.
They're not allowing it, but still.
Yeah. The one that, like, Star Wars. I'm on the fence of it. There's a part of me that now just wants the reboot. For the longest time, I'm like, no, it all holds up. Damn, let's fucking do it.
I didn't write it down because I wanted to throw that in as a joke. Like, you know what? Fucking Star Wars needs to be rebooted.
I mean, at this, like, point, because there is so much controversy and there is so much what is canon, what's not canon. I mean, it will never happen because they're too deep in it. Yeah, I mean, there's talk about like some sort of in canon time reboot of the new trilogy because no one likes them or anything like that. But
could you imagine the blowback though?
Oh,
if they just announced they were going to reboot it, gee, like the world would end.
I think they would literally burn. Yeah. Disney Studios,
because and they would never do it right, because and we've talked about how, like, that first movie, if we were to break it down in today's critical world, it would just get panned and made fun of constantly. But because it's an old late 70s movie, we accept it and it's good and it's set up this world. Mm-hmm. But it would be very hard to do unless they were to do, like, I don't know, like a Star Wars anime or something like that, and just be like, this is going to be its own little universe. It's a reboot. It's this anime thing. So it's a new style and new world, but I don't know. So it's on a, like, I understand it as a no-fly list and no-touchy, but there's a part of me that now would like to see it, to answer your question.
I would love to see the world burn, I guess.
Some of us do.
Great, the Star Wars nerds are going to cancel us.
Yeah. What was your no-fly list?
Let me throw out a couple, because there was one on my movie list 4, and then one on the no-fly list that were semi-related. So, reboot-wise, Reservoir Dogs?
Yeah, you can't touch it.
Let's do it. Let's reboot it. Not necessarily reboot it, but just like...
No, I'd be appreciate it.
That same story with with different actors.
I don't think you could touch any of the Tarantino films.
I think it would be interesting to see
it would be interesting.
Maybe not even like a whole ass reboot, but like a, you know, because it was
step
a
off crew, the subject. I'm getting upset.
It was a crew brought together to do that one job. Or what about another crew brought together doing the job in the same vein?
We had Ocean's 13. We're fine
in the same universe, but with Tarantino style, like not the Disney PG-13. Ocean's 11 style. Well,
the funny part,
they're making a new one
of what?
It's like Ocean's 14 or something.
Like the Seven Seas or something like that.
Yeah. Then they have the Girls Oceans. The funny part is that any Tarantino movie is already an amalgamation of like other inspirations. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it would be weird to then reboot that.
Well, but Pulp Fiction is on my no touch list.
Absolutely don't fucking touch that. I'll let you play it with Reservoir Dogs. I'll fucking yank your microphone out of the goddamn XLR port if you're like, Pulp Fiction, fuck yourself.
There's no way they could reboot
Pulp Fiction. They can never do Pulp Fiction. It's a perfect fucking movie. Leave it alone. Move on.
Yeah.
Move on. Move on.
Big Trouble in Little China. I don't think you could reboot that.
The Rock is going to be fucking Kurt Russell's. I think they've talked about it. They're going to do it.
They've talked about it,
but I thought they even cast The Rock.
I've heard rumors. I haven't heard anything.
That's a perfect one that, like, don't fucking do it.
Like, I haven't heard anything about that one.
Yeah. Again, I mean, I keep going back to what they did with Star Trek. Like, if anything, go back through some of these old special effects and make them better if you can. If anything, if you're going to do anything. But I, at the same time, I don't know if you need to. Because, like, didn't he do, like, a lame, like, laser thing? Which, you know, lasers always look kind of lame back then. Like, I'm sure. Add some glow. And then,
light has to cast off on you.
Video where you're going to have everybody like that one guy.
He
explodes. That's the world right now.
Yeah, Big Trouble in Little China. That's a good one.
What about a retelling of The Shawshank Redemption?
I could see that being done, but man, that movie is one of those movies. You walk past it, you got to sit down and watch the rest of it.
Yeah,
that's why that's on my notest. I'm like, because I was just trying to like think of random off the wall movies. That's like a good movie that you couldn't redo without losing like the legend of it.
And I think Shawshank works because it was already out of time, like it was what, the 60s or something.
I remember.
And so, and, you know, so it was already kind of placed out of time. So watching it again now, it's still, it's not going to feel necessarily dated, and it's, there wasn't, it wasn't special effects heavy or anything like that. God, that's a good movie. It's been a long time since I've watched that movie.
But the Princess Bride.
That could be redone.
Really?
They did redo it during COVID when everyone was just filming in sets. Have you seen that? Yeah. That's fucking great.
I sat and watched
one of the most creative things in the world.
Which is a great promo that the episode of IRYHST, you haven't seen that movie, Breakdown, is available anywhere podcasts are found, where my sister joins us in breaking down The Princess Bride.
The original Princess Bride.
Uh-huh. Yeah. A lot of fun.
Yeah, don't touch that one. Sorry. No. I'm sure there's people that have talked about it, and I'm sure they could do
I'm sure it's been a conversation. Justice,
but that needs to stay...
I feel like Fifth Element's on my list of...
No touching.
Yeah, you couldn't touch that one.
Yeah, don't touch that.
Yeah. The original Die Hard, couldn't touch it.
It's just a classic. The only thing I can see, yes, of course, the special effects and everything, of course, would be different, but...
I think that movie looks great as it is, too.
Yeah. None of those special... Sorry, none of those... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, but with just... Bruce Willis and Chris Tucker. You just can't beat that.
You over there holding yourself because I mentioned Quentin Tarantino's movie.
No,
so
I'm
just trying to like rock yourself back.
I know. I'm just like
back into comfort.
My natural stimming. Speaking of special effects, like the special effects back in the day, if like they were done right, just like with current CGI, I know you're like, is CGI better than practical? It's special effects. Where they paid attention to detail, no matter what the era, no matter if it's CG or practical, whatever. So long as there's passion, love, and detail put into that, it always still holds up. I don't want to watch a movie because I want to see it like with the better technology of the visual effects. It's done right back in the day.
Yeah, you know, there's a few. I can't name any specifics, but I know there's some stuff back in the day that I'm sure the special effects were like. Top of the line or impressive at the time, but certainly ended up not holding up or whatever like that. I can't.
What's so funny though? Because like
Equilibrium.
I saw clips of that. What an interesting movie!
It's
is that the gun?
It's a really good movie to me, but I don't think it holds that place in like people's minds that are like, well, they better not touch that. Like no.
Oh, no, like, I was thinking about
they'll bad touch the shit out
doing
of
it.
Having that one rebooted, but I just love Christian Bale in that movie. Like it was before he was kind of.
He's got that Neo trench coat on.
Yeah, him and.
Him and Sean
what's
Bean.
The dude's name again?
Sean Bean.
No, not Sean Bean. The brother.
From another mother, Taye Diggs.
Yeah, Taye Diggs. So
fierce, like Taye Diggs.
I heard that they were supposed to have a epic battle scene, but schedule wise, like it was like almost not exactly what happened in Indiana Jones, you know, because that was supposed to be a epic battle scene, but you know, Harrison Ford had to go to the bathroom, so he just shot him. So his scheduling, he was just too busy. And that's how they had to...
They just shortened that fight?
Yeah, they shortened the fight with that epic face cleaved right off.
I'm fine with that, too.
Oh, it just worked out. Like, it just made it even better, just like what happened with Indiana Jones. But because of Equilibrium, we got Ultraviolet, and oh my God, I need that movie rebooted.
That's
and it needs to be done right.
That movie needs to be done. Wiped from existence.
Because it was trash.
I'm thinking about it now that you brought up like Fifth Element We talked about like Total Recall and Robocop, so many of those movies back in the day were so driven by the actors, like Schwarzenegger's movies, Stallone's movies, Bruce Willis movies. Like I would almost dare to question, like I know they tried to reboot Total Recall and didn't work. Like Rambo, like could they, like it wouldn't be the same, right? Mm-mm. They did try Conan with Momoa.
I had that on my list.
And I feel like that was partially ruined because that was like when 3D was a thing. And I think they to me, it was, they did a lot of those like, like throwing things at you and stuff like that. I don't remember the movie being like super bad, but it still just, it didn't have that charm of the old ones, which, I mean, by definition, I think new movies are not going to have the charm of the old movies. But, but I do kind of wonder like if some of those old movies were just so driven by the actors that it might be hard to redo.
So there's this thing in Hollywood that they say it,
cocaine
going back to the 80s,
that if you want to tell a story and you want the story to shine, they say don't turn it into a movie because you need a good actor to drive the movie to get people in the seats. But if you want to have the story shine, they say turn it into a series, because therefore you get to tell the story that you want to tell rather than make an actual movie where they have to, you know, quote unquote, get like some known actor just to get people to, you know, recognize it. But when you have a series or like a show, in a sense, you could tell a story like Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have, you know, this big time Hollywood star. You know, people are going to watch it and then they're going to get invested in, and then they're going to start to like who you have, you know, at the helm of your movie or your series.
Because Doug put Bruce Willis on that list, but when he first did Die Hard, he came from a comedy.
Yeah, true. You know, but eventually was kind of like a Bruce Willis thing. Like Fifth Element, yeah, I think that was like, oh, that's a Bruce Willis movie. I know it was more, but
per the Breaking Bad thing, like you can have a familiar face and someone you go, okay, I kind of know that person, you know, not because they were doing action, but I just know them in some other thing, like a comedy, like Breaking Bad, Bryan Cranston. And Malcolm in the Middle was hilarious and does this like really hardcore serious thing. A lot of people that do comedy do drama very, very fucking well. Mm-hmm. So I see what you're talking about.
But I'm thinking of something like True Lies, which I think someone is rebooting that Schwarzenegger movie. But it's like those kind of movies that were like fun action stuff. I mean, back in that time period, like a new Schwarzenegger movie was coming out and you know they were going to, I think they actually used like a Marine Corps Harrier. Mm-hmm. In that movie, right? So. Like, you know, and that was such a fun moment. That was such a fun moment in movie making because of like the lack of CG, and there was like these pushes to like, let's fly, like in Terminator 2, let's fly a helicopter underneath the bridge in the LA River, right? Like, and so like seeing it was going to be a Schwarzenegger movie, you knew they were going to like be able to spend the money to do this kind of thing, and that was part of the excitement of it all. Like if they were to reboot True Lies today, I feel like it wouldn't have that same excitement because it wasn't like this year's Schwarzenegger movie because we don't have those superstars anymore.
Yeah.
We don't. Oh, that totally reminds me. Speaking of superstars, Wild Wild West. Not that I'm saying I like that movie. I just like... No, sorry.
Big Mechanical Spider is all
Will Smith need. With his summer movies. I mean, you get into stuff like Independence Day and stuff like that. We still hold up. But Wild Wild West, steampunk, right? Steampunk has not been represented that much at all in any sort of mainstream movie thing. So that was one of my answers. I should have written it down so I could have said it earlier. I'd love to see a reboot of that just to have steampunk in the mainstream. Like full on, give it the $1 billion budget, make it for everybody. I just want to see steampunk.
That could be done.
Absolutely.
If they rebooted it, would you think they would still use the same steampunk stuff from it? From like the original?
Giant spider?
Yes.
Because you wouldn't see it because you're afraid.
Sorry. I'm asking you, like, if they redid that story, people would be like, steampunk, ew.
I mean, steampunk, I think, has gained popularity since then.
It's coming back.
At the time, I don't even know if anyone really even knew that it would be considered steampunk other than a few niche nerds. Mm. But I think there's like, I mean, you go to any of the cons, there's always the steampunk booths. I think even if you go to like more arts and crafts, like nights at breweries or like art walk nights, I think steampunk has a little bit bigger presence. Mm. So I feel like you could, and it'd almost be worth exploring, like, again, you know, turn it into a series. But even if you got rid of some of the big giant set pieces, like the giant spider, and spent that budget and maybe time exploring a steampunk world a little bit more, like, that'd be kind of cool. It's time. Like, so I don't think it's time. Steampunk.
I mean, you're in here, Wild Wild West. It's time.
Yeah. Not even necessarily Wild Wild West, but just I'd love to see a steampunk show and more cyberpunk and stuff, obviously, too. So,
anyone else have anything else on the list?
No, like, I did have one more movie, but like, the more I look at it, I'm like, it's a period piece that you really couldn't, I don't think you could redo anyway. Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
Like,
by the way, I love that you have the Don't Touch It list.
Set against the Vietnam War, like, is it being more? Yeah.
Where does Encino Man sit in the not touching it list? And leave it alone?
Like, not watching it ever again.
Encino Man. Was that Pauly Shore?
Yeah.
And so Brendan Fraser. Pauly Shore Brandon is, again, Fraser. One of those like just actors that you knew you were getting a Pauly Shore movie.
Son-in-law? Come on.
That movie is a big whatever for me, but every once in a while I'll see it like Don't Weeze the Juice.
Yeah. Don't Weeze the Juice.
Don't Weeze the Juice.
Small the things I didn't think we're going to talk about today: small wonders and wheezing the juice. Let's fucking go.
That's probably as good.
Let's wrap that shit up. All right, that is as good as place as any. Hollywood, you hearing us? Let's make these fucking movies. In the meantime, check us out on Instagram and TikTok at The Hype Attack. And if you're just listening to this, my God, go back and rewatch us at youtube.com/The Hype Attack Podcast. Douglas,
yeah, keep the conversation going. I know people have their dream reboots, or I know you probably think some of ours are stupid. Tell me why Wild Wild West should be rebooted.
what's on your guys' no fly list?
Yeah.
What's on your like bad touch, no touchy?
Tell us what not to touch.
Bad touch. Bad touch. Till next time then. Same hype time. Same hype channel.
Hype
reboot the Hype Attack. Let's go.
Reboot.